Hi guys, welcome to episode 17 of Bitch Please. It is Hannah here recording the intro. Today we have a special guest for you guys. Her name is Julia Reese. She is a friend of mine. She is a comedy writer who just launched a line of t-shirts called Society. You'll hear my attempt at pronouncing it the French way. I thought I did a good job, but she did not think so. Jillian and I were able to record the podcast together in person this time because I'm in New York for the month. Well, technically New Jersey, living home with my parents for the month, having an almost midlife crisis, which is always fun. And yeah, I think Julia brings a really fun perspective, so I hope you guys enjoy it.
Bitch, please.
So today we have Julia Reese as our guest. She is a comedy writer, and she just launched a clothing line called Societe, which is my attempt at a French accent. How do you say it?
Societe.
Societe?
Society is fine. It's fine.
No, I want to talk about how to say it. Say it again.
Societe.
Julia, say it.
Are you Italian?
Societe.
Say it, Julia.
Societe.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure that's exactly what I said,
okay.
But...
it's just say society.
You can call it society. Better. They have these funny phrases on them, but they're really well made. I have one, and it says, save yourself, kill your dreams. And it's been inspiring me lately, helping me reevaluate my life. So welcome, Julia.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm glad we are inspiring to live your lowest ambition with our shirts.
Julia's currently in Paris. She just relocated there.
Woo! Vive la France.
Yeah. I love France.
So we have some advice.
Doesn't love France.
France.
Say France again.
France. All right, so we're going to kick things off with the first question. Okay. Hi, guys. I consider myself a pretty confident person in day-to-day life, but when it comes to dating, I second-guess myself so much. Maybe it's because dating sucks and I'm getting cynical, but I can have a really great date with a guy, and if he doesn't text me an hour or so after the date, I start having a mini meltdown in my head. How do I stop this sort of self-sabotaging behavior? Sincerely, self-sabotager.
Okay. An hour or two?
Like, you know, like, I'm on the subway. I mean, I don't know, whatever this girl...
I guess it's hearing from them right after.
So I think it's always nice when a guy texts you right after, obviously. I feel like guys, like, there's not, like, misinformation, but every guy has their, like, quote-unquote strategy. And just because a guy doesn't text you immediately after doesn't mean he, like, doesn't like you. He might feel like he likes you too much. I don't know, but, like, if you're having, like, a meltdown, I don't think having a meltdown is useful in any context after a first date. But I think, like, at least give it a solid 24. And then if you're a meltdown-y kind of person, have your meltdown after 24 hours, not 1 to 2. That seems unfair.
Yeah. I guess it feels pretty extreme. But someone who would really need, like, reassurance would hope that it would happen the night of. But it's also, like, most dudes want to keep it so that they come off, like, kind of cool. Like, it could be, like, a little desperate of a move to text you, like, immediately after the date.
Yeah, put yourself in a situation where what if you went on a first date that you didn't like, would you want to get that text? Like sometimes, I don't know, I feel like we forget those situations, but remembering the situations where we're hurt or we feel like vulnerable and not the situations where we feel grateful that someone didn't follow up, like it can be a good thing. I just think, I don't know, I think it's solid 24. And no one's saying that you can't say anything. If I had a really good time, also out of politeness, especially if a guy has, like, taken me out, like, has, like, spent a lot of money on dinner or something, has done something incredibly nice, I make an effort to say thank you, like, by the time I get home. Like,
you thank you to it. Thank him in person?
Well, like, no, I mean, if we go on a first date and someone is, like, gone, you know, has treated me an evening, I guess, I always text when I get back home if I've had a really good time.
It's so interesting. I once like had a conversation with a guy and he was like, it's so, I think it's so rude when girls don't send like thank you texts after the date. And I've never sent that. Like, I thank profusely in person, but I don't send a follow-up thank you text. And that's, I don't plan on starting doing that.
Happened to me recently, but as far as like the guys that I've dated in my most recent past, there's a new thing of like, call me when you get home so I know you're okay. Like, I don't know if I give off like idiot vibes and I don't know how to get home.
I've never understood when people say that, like, let me know you get home okay. It's like, let me know if you don't get home okay, but otherwise bye. Like, what?
I think it's kind of sweet. It's a little bit old school, because when we think about it, back in the day before, like, predators and the internet, like, a guy would pick you up at your house in his, like, vehicle, or, like, show up at your door and then, like, walk you home, and that's how things used to be, and that's fine, and they made sure, you know. But I feel like it's kind of old school. I like if I like the guy, obviously. If you don't like the guy, it's like, I'd rather not. I'd rather not tell you when I'm home.
I think in terms of hearing from the guy, though, because let's figure the date's at night. You're not going to hear from them that night. I think it's nice to hear from them the next day. I think when they wait more than a day, it's just they're not into you, or it's rude and weird. Like,
or they've just had like poor experiences with girls and don't really know what the right thing to do is. So they like know that they could wait 2 days. But honestly, like, if a dude likes you, he's going to text you the next day.
If a guy likes you, you're going to hear from him.
I totally agree.
Or he could be like busy, and he could be the kind of guy who's like not even thinking about it, and he'll just text you when he wants to see you. But exactly. Yeah, it's like,
at a certain point, I mean, I don't know how old self-saboteur is, but I think the older we get, like, no one's fucking that busy. Like, you are busy, but you're not busy for the things that you care about. So,
right. It takes like literally 2 seconds to text someone. It's like the easiest thing to do, actually.
I think it's funny because girls make all these excuses and all these thoughts, and we spend so much time overanalyzing men, and like, they're so fucking simple. If they're thinking about you and want to see you, you're gonna know it, and they're gonna be texting you. And if they're not, then you know it. And it's like, when I was 22, I would like sit by my phone freaking out, like just putting all the power on them. Whereas like now that I'm 30 and, you know, emotionally unavailable, I don't even wait for a text. I'm just like, okay, whatever.
Bill damage. No,
it's funny that I'm not even 30 yet, but I keep forgetting that I'm not 30 and calling myself 30. It's easier than like 29.
I'm still 29.
Recently 32. Ew. But you know, before the person I'm with now, I mean, I still get fucked in the head by people that don't make it obvious that they like fuck boys. Do you know what I mean? Like they text you, but then they're like not really available. If a guy likes you, you fucking know.
You know.
But I do think 2 hours is cutting it a little bit too close as far as the question is concerned. So just give it till the next day. Give it a solid 24. Give it a day.
Yeah.
Agreed.
Okay, next question. Hi, Hannah and Jillian. I'm in my early 30s and I work in finance. I'm good at what I do and I like making money, but I'm honestly miserable at work. I'm just not passionate about it, and I always wanted to be one of those people who are stoked on their job. I'm thinking about a career change, but I don't even know what I would do. I've always been into holistic healing and want to explore massage therapy, but I also don't know if I want to touch people all of the time, just some of the time. Also, money. Please help. All the best, finance fool.
Can I be mean?
Yeah.
Sure.
I mean, is this a real question? Like, I only want to, does that mean I don't want to touch ugly people, or I don't want to touch fat people? Or like, if you're a holistic healer or masseuse, like, your job is touching people. So like, be comfortable with that.
Right. Yeah. Get in or get out.
Yeah. Like, yeah. Commit. And also, I don't know. Money's nice. It's a good thing to have. I mean,
it's a great thing to have.
Yeah. This person sounds more like they need a hobby. Like, they need something fulfilling on the side of their work if they're not fully ready to, like, commit.
Or even just, like, a part-time, like, be, like, an intern somewhere even. Like, just to learn from someone or take a class on, like, how to make tinctures. I mean, there's so many things you could do.
Yeah, make homemade soaps on the weekends in your gorgeous apartment because you work in finance and have money.
Right.
And, like,
I imagine she doesn't have a lot of time, because the people that I know work in finance work really brutal hours. But that being said, I can only imagine what it's like to, like, do that kind of repetitive work that isn't very creatively fulfilling or doesn't, you know, involve a lot of empathy for other people. But yeah, I mean, make soaps. They have a soap kit thing that you can. I have a friend that did that, and then her friend saw them and then like started a soap business. But I feel like instead of abandoning your job, there's probably a way to get your toe in to see if you actually like something and are, it's worth, you know.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I do know someone from high school who worked like at Morgan Stanley, and then I guess she just hated it at some point and she left. And she went back to school to be a nutritionist, but she knew wholeheartedly that like she was going to go get her master's in dietetic, whatever. So unless you're like really know, then you just have to dabble in shit for a while.
Yeah, I don't think it's worth throwing an atomic bomb on your life. Or
coming from the other side of it, though, like I'm not someone who can like sacrifice the passion for the money. Like I wish I could, because I'm very not making money right now. But like I worked on this brand thing the other day and it just kind of confirmed like I need the passion. Like I need the art and that side of it. And I don't know that I could just work in finance straight for money. And I think like mental health is important too. And like I wish I could work in finance and do that and make the money, but I just think I would kill myself. So I see both sides.
I think there's a happy medium. Like I write and I write for brands, and no, it's not like the most fulfilling, like creatively inspiring work, but it's not, you know, math or something right. that I fucking hate. So like, as far as this person is concerned, if they have a financial background, like who's to say you couldn't blend it? Like there's so many like apps and startups in that space that I'm sure need financial brains. That would be another way to like maybe not sacrifice, you know, whatever she's making or whatever, have a at least like a less drastic change in lifestyle and income by doing something that was sort of blending the two.
Also, like financial terms to people who don't know finance are really confusing. So if you could figure out a way to like make it like a dummy's guide almost, but a millennial version, like a modernize and explain investment strategies or whatever to people. Like, I don't know shit about, like, I'm terrible at math. I can't even add, like, a book like that would be helpful.
I think there's some work to be done in combining wellness and financial literacy. I'm sure that would actually help a lot of people. But yeah, don't quit your job and become a masseuse therapist or a massage therapist.
I like the idea of finding a way to combine them, like, doing finance for a place that's not as like emotionally draining, or just like I know someone who does finance for a startup, like a cool startup, and so it's like there's a way to do the finance for a different kind of company,
right?
That could be more along the lines of your interests.
Yeah, it sounds like you just need to find more meaning in life. It doesn't necessarily mean you have to change your whole job, or it does.
Hobbies are important. Hobbies and continued education, continued like learning. I think that's super important. Something we forget, especially in our 30s. It's like we're so concerned with making money that we don't take pleasure in like making shit anymore. Like I know Hannah, you did that like pottery class for a while. You know, little things like that can really impact your quality of life for the better.
Hi bitches, I recently went out with a guy and we clicked. The date was great, constant conversation, but when we went back and had sex, it was the worst sex of my entire life. I don't think he's ever touched a woman before, but he thought it was great. He thought I did a great job and was surprised I didn't orgasm. Can the sex improve, or is this a waste of my time? Sincerely confused.
Don't, unless you really like this person, there's no reason to, like, as a human, there's no reason to put yourself back in that situation. But I do think communicating to someone when sex is bad, that it's bad, is very important, because how else are they going to learn?
How do you tell someone that they're bad at sex?
So like, I think women, every woman lies about orgasming at some point in their life. Like that's like a thing that we do and have mastered. And like every woman has given an Academy Award winning performance in her life. That being said, I think it's really hurtful. And in the long run, like kind of, not to be like weird, but like anti-feminist, because it just allows bad sexual behavior or poor sexual behavior or bad, like, misinformation to sort of continue. So yeah, don't fake your orgasms. If you're not orgasming, be like, I'm not. And if he's like, why? Like, don't give an excuse. Explain why. Like, oh, the way you're touching me is not, like, show them. Don't be afraid to take a dude's hand and, like, show them. Mind you, some men are beyond teaching. Like, some of them will never get it, but, like, at least you attempted. And if he can't take it, as far as, like, the advice, then he can go fuck off.
Yeah, you should want to improve. But it's really important how you say it, because there was one time I was dating someone and we just didn't really have sexual chemistry. And I said something when I was drunk, like, well, other guys can. And it was like, it was the axe. I mean, like, we continued to date, but I was so insensitive to him and his feelings.
That's pretty brutal. I had a girlfriend in college once. I remember this story so well. We all used to, like, go out together in New York City, and we would get brunch the next day, and she was telling us about this guy that she was fucking and how he was fucking her so poorly. So she, like, commanded him out of her bed. She was like, go over there and sit in the corner until you learn how to fuck me correctly. Oh, and the guy actually got out of the bed. And so poor her. So I guess it could be a turn on if you're into, like, a sub-dominant kind of dynamic, but in all seriousness, I just think explaining, and if a guy likes you, or if a guy likes you slash is not a cunt, he's gonna be receptive to, like, whatever information you have to give.
I agree. I mean, I think at some point we all have to be taught a little bit. Like, there's only so much you can learn on your own. But I will say, like, I think sexual chemistry just has to be there. Like, you can't teach sexual chemistry. Like, you either are a fit or you're not. Like, you can teach specific moves and, like, I like this and I don't like this. But I think you either flow in the bedroom or you don't.
And yeah, there are certain things that can't be taught. Like, yeah. You have compatibility in that way or you don't. But I do think women in general have a really hard time voicing their needs, and men have a really hard time listening. And it's sort of like this vicious circle, because we kind of stay in our mutual camps and the behavior gets even worse. But yeah, this is why, honestly, one of the reasons I'm all for the legalization of prostitution is I actually think young men should be, like, formed. Like, they should be trained in a certain way. Like, I don't think the first person they sleep with should be, like, a professional necessarily, but I think it could be hugely impactful for, like, the pleasure quotient of humanity if people were being taught by, specifically women teaching men in a way that.
Yeah. In New Jersey, when you get your driver's license, if you get it, you're permit at 17, you're required to get 6 hours of lessons before you're allowed on the road on your own. And, like, I think it should be the same. I think you're right. Like, men should be forced to have, like, three sessions with a pro before they're allowed, like, out in the wild.
I'm not trying to try, Hannah. I love how extreme you are with this shit. No, but I just think that if someone is suffering sexually and having repeatedly sexually, like, it's not coming to them naturally, in that case a professional can be very helpful, because it's a safe space and a context where, like, that person doesn't have to perform, quote unquote. So, like, you know, a learning safe, you know, environment,
a lesson.
So yeah, legalize prostitution for those reasons.
All about legalize it. You should put that on the t-shirt. Do you have a t-shirt that says that
about legalize? I should do a shirt that relates to sex work, because I have a lot of opinions about it.
I have a lot of opinions about it.
Mostly that it should just be legal. But for reasons I think also that people don't consider, not just what I just discussed, but also people who, there's a whole community of sex workers that deal with, like, people who have handicaps, like physical handicaps. And you can get into sort of the ethics of that and whether or not it's fetish, but, like, people who don't have an easy time making.
Yeah, that's interesting.
It's like a good deed, honestly.
Yeah, it's like a little bit of karma.
It's like a mitzvah.
Well, it's like hooking up with an ugly guy. It's like, all right, I did my good deed for the month.
Oh my God, Hannah.
Okay, so the next question is, like, I guess in a similar vein. We chose kind of relationship-based questions this week because I think Julia's opinions on sex and relationships is hilarious. Okay, so next question.
Do you girls... Coming from the person that said that they need 6 hours of professional guidance before they go on the quote-unquote road.
I think men do. I think
before they get on the road.
Yeah, before they get on the road. Okay, question four. Do you girls think it is important to wait to have sex? Or I guess they mean on a date. Or is it all right to have sex on the first date? My friends and I are always debating this. On one hand, you want to wait and give it and not give it all up right away. But on the other hand, I like having sex. What's a modern feminist to do? Best slutty feminist.
You do what the fuck you want. I hate this question so much. It makes me so angry. So, like, my whole thing with a guy that... Any guy that judges you for fucking him, it's like, how much does he hate himself? Does that make sense?
I never thought about it that way, to be honest.
Like, how low do they think of themselves that they're going to judge you for fucking them? It's like, you ate that? You know, when someone's like, does that to you? It's kind of like, it's so annoying. And that being said, I do think we live in a culture that's like hypersexualized and there is often a rush to have sex. But like, if you're feeling it, quote unquote, and you're on a date and you're enjoying yourself and it gets to that place where you want to have sex, you should, the fact that you're worried about what might happen or what you might think should be the last reason. You know what I mean? Like, that shouldn't be, judgment should not be part of that equation, in my opinion. I think if you're enjoying yourself, you own the fact that you're enjoying yourself and you have sex with that person. And then also, if that person judges you, would you want that relationship to continue? Would you want to be in a relationship with someone that would judge you that way?
Right. I have a lot of thoughts on this. The first being, I obviously agree with you, but like, as I'm getting a little bit older and I'm looking for something a little bit more substantial, I do think there's something to be said for like getting to know someone a little bit more before you jump into bed, because when you have sex right away, it really just becomes a more physical and more about the sex. But then at the same time, like, if you wait, my fear is like, then you end up like the girl in the question just before this, where like you wait a few dates to have sex and then you find out awful sexual chemistry. And like, sexual chemistry is very important for a relationship. And so it's like, you want to know early on whether or not this is going to be a fit in the bedroom as well. And then I was once listening to a podcast, I believe it was someone talking about evolution, and basically the way male brains are wired is like, if a girl
I refuse. It's like that book, what was it, Something at Dawn. So many of these like studies are like, we forget that human beings made these studies and human beings come at it with a cultural and social agenda. So like, fucking no. That's all I have to say.
But all I was gonna say is like, so evolutionarily speaking, like, men are designed to spread their seed, but they don't want to spread their seed to a woman who's getting a lot of different seeds, because like, evolutionary speaking, men are afraid that they're going to be with a woman who's going to get pregnant from someone else, and then they have to like raise someone else's child. So that's kind of where it comes from, that men don't love the idea of women having sex with a lot of other people, because then they could end up raising someone else's child like by accident. And I get that, like, coming from an evolutionary perspective, I get that, but I just think,
you know, like, I'm going to give it like a real slight maybe, but to me it's like redactive. Like, it doesn't, we're not in caves. Like,
I agree.
Fucking no, we have Wi-Fi.
DNA tests.
Personally, I'm kind of traditional in the sense that like, I feel like three dates is great. First two dates, you get to know each other. There's flirtation. There's making out. You kind of like build that sexual tension. And around the third date, it feels like it's just, for me usually, like, right. That's how I roll. But
if that's how you feel and you know, like, I'm all about owning your own cadence. So, like, that's genuinely how you feel. Like, that's 100% what you should abide by.
Right.
But, like, speaking of being in France, I mean, it comes up so often because I'm often, like, you know, the American, you know, whatever, in the group of French people, we'll talk about sex and dating culture. French guys laugh so hard about the fact, like dating an American woman usually is just, like, such a show. Like, it's such a pain of, like, it's like, oh, you know, maybe 3 months from now, I might fuck her. Like, right. They laugh at them. It's like, if you know, and this is kind of, it's much more in line with the way, like, with the way that I think is if you're enjoying yourself, if you feel comfortable, and those being the big ifs, you shouldn't worry about being judged, is all.
I agree. I think when you feel it, and, like, if you're scared that he's going to lose interest, that's like another thing. It's like there's the judgment piece, and then it's like, if I fuck him, will this be over? Like, if that's why it's like, if you like him, maybe wait.
Yeah, but, like, I would hate to think that if the reason that a relationship works out was as simple as that you waited, right?
I think whether you have sex on the first date or on the 10th date, if he's just in it for the sex, you're not going to hear from him the next day. But if he likes you, it doesn't matter when you have sex with him. That's kind of my thoughts.
One time I did the real, like, hard, long waiting, like, real waiting, was because I met this guy, and we had a pretty serious relationship, by the way. I met this guy. I didn't take him seriously at first. He was young and 100% not my type, but, like, very American, Connecticut, boat shoes, pastels, the whole thing. And we went on this date. Like, I figured we're going to have sex, and this is a fun little, you know, detour from my usual romantic life and style. And then when it came to that point, he was the one who was like, can we wait? And then we proceeded to, like, court me for, I think, like, a month, maybe more. And that relationship, he was so dishonest and so unfaithful and, like, the fucking worst, that all I'm just saying is, no matter which way you do it, it doesn't dictate. Like, I don't think it makes a difference.
If a man asked me to wait and said, like, could we wait, I would judge him so hard. And it's such a double standard, but it's just like, I'd be like, wait, what?
I would be like, something's like, he's a little emotionally broken.
I'd be offended. I'm like, he's not attracted to me.
I would just think he's emotionally broken.
If he didn't want to have sex.
Kind of, yeah. Because what guy doesn't really want to have sex? It's someone who's like either just got out of a relationship with somebody or has some other issues.
Like, he just wanted to, like, get to know you first?
It's rare you meet a guy who says that.
I mean, boat shoes guy. He just wanted to get to know you?
I just, like, I really like you. But he grew up in a culture that was, like, who taught him that.
Right. And repressed.
I think so much of this is cultural. And you kind of have to play within the culture that you're in, obviously. Or the one that you want to be a part of. Or the one that you identify with. But, yeah, I mean, his whole... I don't want to, like, unpack his baggage, but he came from kind of a fucked up family background where his dad had cheated with mom, and, like, he was aware of it as a younger person, and the mom chose to stay with the dad. I think his whole vision of sexuality and fidelity and quote-unquote sluttiness and those sorts of things were deeply jaded by, like, the community he grew up in, the experience he had with his family, and, you know, he had very different expectations of how a relationship should unfold.
Right.
What was permissible. So apparently fucking on the first date wasn't, but him, like, texting every fucking girl on the planet while, you know, we were, was fine.
What a creep.
This week I watched the Nikki Glaser banging stand-up special on Netflix. Did either of you watch it?
No. But I heard about it.
It's all about, like, sex and giving head in, like, a very modern context. Like, I don't usually watch her stuff. It was, like, pretty vulgar and, like...
I typically watch her, but I didn't think she was... Maybe she's more vulgar than she has been in the past.
It was great. I highly recommend it.
Kind of vulgar, Nikki, like, very. And she does, like, roasty type stuff.
Right.
No, she's really funny. For a minute, I, like, I don't know why I got sick of her exactly. I, like, unfollowed her, but then I refollowed.
Well, I thoroughly enjoyed her special.
Did either of you read that Lena Dunham piece? She, like, wrote a food diary.
Oh, yeah.
Did you see that?
No, but this sounds like
a...
It's basically, like, she lists all the stuff she eats, and then she, like, weaves in almost, like, diary entries of, like, what's going on in her life that day and, like, what fueled her eating that. And she eats ham and white bread in the morning, and then she talks about how she like didn't want to fuck Jock Antonoff. It's like I'm like very into Lena Dunham.
She talks a lot about how she like lost a lot of weight at the end of her like Jack Antonoff relationship and her relationship with food. Julia, you'd find it really interesting, actually. What did you think of it, Jillian?
I mean, I'm a Lena fan. I like her writing. I think it's cool to like show like what you're eating and your feelings at the same time. Honestly, like I thought it was a cool way to write a piece.
Yeah, I'm not against. I mean, Lena Dunham is obviously, you know, incredibly accomplished. Do I like everything that she does?
No.
Yeah. But I think she's incredibly talented. I also find that material is, I feel mixed. I think we live in a culture where, you know, in the United States, like food and body image and all that is like definitely problematic. But I also think that kind of material can be super triggering to kind of, you know what I mean? Like, I don't, as it's a double-edged sword. It's like very helpful to share because I think people feel less alone. But at the same time, I think that it can be, it's almost like, let's stop talking about what everyone's eating and just fucking eat. Like, be healthy. Be okay.
I guess girls who go to that extreme, like she lost so much weight. And then she gained so much. She said she gained 30 pounds in a month.
So whoa.
That's a lot. That's a eating disorder, you know? So I guess it would be good for other girls in her position to read. I mean, I personally, I've binged before, but I've never gone to that degree. Like, if I feel like my jeans are getting tight, I stop. Like, if you can't stop, then that's a whole nother
thing. Well, it's an addiction. I mean, eating disorders are, that's what people don't understand. I mean, I had a pretty nasty eating disorder for about 12 years, and what people don't understand about eating disorder, it works on the brain the same way an addiction does, but obviously you have to eat, you can't abstain,
right? And then you die.
But what ends up happening is your brain, the way that an addict will have like a reward sort of response to like taking drugs, for an anorexic for example, the reward thing that happens in their brain happens when they feel hungry, and that's why it's such a hard thing to treat these things, because it literally changes the way your brain works. And when you start to eat normally, your brain interprets it as a threat. Like, it's a serious thing. But I don't know if I agree with the way that culture deals with it.
Right.
You know, I think it's glamorized, and I don't know, talking shit about Lena Dunham is like the least original thing I could do. But like, you know, it's like, I don't know how helpful some of the discourse is.
What do you think?
I liked the concept of what she was writing. I mean, I'm not necessarily her biggest fan. Like, I don't relate to some of her stuff, but I liked that she was talking about it, because I'm very pro, like, let's talk about it. Like,
I don't,
you know, just being open about how much weight she lost at the end of her relationship. I think a lot of girls struggle with eating, and the more open we can be about it and like just take away the shame and the stigma that comes along with all of it, the better off we'll all be.
Yeah. And there was even some line in there that felt relatable. It was something about like how she tries to be like above it and not like prioritize her body. But at the same time, like, it does matter, like, a little bit. And, like, everyone feels that way. And, yes, it's because we live in a society that's so judgmental and there's so many unrealistic standards. But, like, at the end of the day, it's how you feel about yourself, right? It's, like, if you feel good at being what someone would consider being overweight, do you. But if you don't feel good, then, you know, that's something you might want
to
change.
I mean, I don't obviously read it to really be able to comment, but I do feel like this is – Hannah knows that I have some pretty, like – politically incorrect views about body positivity as a movement, and it's like they're deeply ingrained in culture. Like, it's not about, you know, if you're a size 12 or like whatever, if you're like, obviously there are more sizes than up to a size 6, like that is obvious, evident, and it's not healthy to expect women to like be there. Like, we're all built very differently. That being said, I do think in the US, like, there's a reason in France, like, you will never see them aggrandizing someone who's like clearly unhealthy,
right?
And the response in the United States is, my health is not your business. They're 100% right. If someone is like morbidly obese, their health is not my business. But it is my business when they become champions of a movement that tells younger people, like young people, that like that's okay. Do you know what I mean? That's like, yeah, something to to become, because really it's not like your body can go to a certain point and then it does become dangerous. Like joints, chronic health wise, it becomes problematic. So no, I'm not advocating for eating disorders, but we have such an exaggerated idea of what it means to be inclusive in the United States. And it's not about shaming. It's not about shaming, but it's about, I think, supporting someone and recognizing when someone has a problem. Like overeating is also addiction. And it's like, let's get this person help. Let's make sure that whatever's going on in their life or in their past, like, let's deal with that. And also access to decent food is also a huge, huge problem. Like, that's not part of the narrative, is the way people eat. Right. Like industrial, you know, crap, fast food, shit like that.
So when you're cooking in France now, like in Paris, are you food shopping day of, like...
Well, refrigerators in France, like even in a family home, like are very small. Like that's an interesting thing to keep in mind. Like my family's refrigerator here is half the size of our refrigerator, or maybe less than it is in the U.S. And, you know, there is frozen food here. There is like takeout. There's like ethnic food too. Like you have basically, France is very, Paris specifically is very global in the sense like it's like New York. We have things like Uber Eats and stuff like that. But you can't, like, because of the size of the apartments, you can't really keep a lot. Like, it's not just designed to do that. In the food culture, one thing that what I think is so interesting in France is, you know, on the radio, you have, like, public service announcements. I'm trying to think of the ones that you have in the U.S., but in France, they have these things, and at the end of food commercials, they have them, too, about telling you not to snack. Like, that's their public service announcement, is, like, don't snack between meals, because culturally it's considered very... Like, they'll eat a snack at 4.
Okay.
And then, like, when the kids come home from school. And that's, like, when you have your, like, gruyère or, like, your little, like, snack. And then it's three square. Otherwise, it's, like, very... Like, that idea of eating 3 hours a day, like, every 3 hours, what are you doing?
Like, right.
That's funny.
It's just interesting. It's a different approach. It's not necessarily correct, mm-hmm. but... It's just a very different thing. And yes, people shop more frequently, but people who work are not shopping for their fucking food every day. Like, young professional women are not going, you know, to the marché en plein air and, like, picking out their fucking lettuce.
Yeah.
Like, no, they're not doing that. They're doing their equivalent of Uber Eats, which Uber Eats exists here, but they have this thing called Deliveroo that a lot of people use.
I once tried to Uber Eats when I was in Croatia. Like, I was, because I had fractured my foot. And I was in how I skipped a step. It was really just like pedestrian and stupid. Anyhow, I was like staying in this hotel room all day in Split. And I was trying to, they had no food delivery service. And that was sad to me.
Yeah. Rural parts of France you will not have.
Sure, sure. Yeah, no, Paris, and it was modern enough. I was just, I thought Split would be like. Would have it, but it's
Split.
It's like the capital of Croatia, but Croatia was like a third world country until like the late 80s, I think. So I don't know. Anywho.
Anyway, Julia, thank you for joining us today.
Did my best.
You were great. Thank you so much.
You were great. And everyone go out and buy a
Society.
Sure. A society shirt.
It's at Societe Los Angeles, but Societe spelled the French way on Instagram. Anyway,
spell it for all of our listeners. Spell
what?
How do you spell
Societe?
Okay, cool. There you go. Everyone, go buy a
follow.
Shirt. And oh yeah, and follow her at the follow Reese piece.
Thanks, Julia.
Bye, Julia.
Bye.
All right, guys. Thanks for listening. I hope you liked it. Keep sending in the questions. We love reading them, and we'll see you next week. Bye.